The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. When I read this passage from Paul's letter to the church in Rome, it reminds me of when I'm trying to read when I'm tired. And I don't know if this happens to you, when I'm tired and I'm reading, I will read the same line six times. And about the fourth time, I realize I've read the same line. And then I try to do it again and two more, then I'm thinking, okay, I'm done reading. It's time to stop, go to sleep. But I don't know if that happens to you. It certainly happens to me. And when I read this portion of Paul's letter, I'm thinking, what are you talking about? In fact, as we were sitting up here on the altar listening to it, Dan and I were kind of chuckling to one another as we're hearing it, because it just sounds like nothing. It's like, what is he even talking about? And I thought to myself when I saw it, I said, well, I'm certainly going to preach the gospel today. Which doesn't come across much easier, does it? So I decided, well, you know what? Let's take a run at it. I don't think I've ever preached this passage of Paul's letter to the church in Rome. And as I was doing some research, one of the scholars pointed out that it might be easier to grasp a little bit of what he's talking about if we back up and hear from the first chapter of Romans what Paul is talking about. And we're in this section that is an inner conflict, is what they subtitle this in my Bible, the inner conflict. But if you back up to chapter 1, verses 21 and 22, and a little bit following, you grasp this concept better of what this conflict could be about. So it talks a lot about sin, but for Paul, sin wasn't just these dramatic acts of evil against God. It was essentially anything that wasn't in alignment with God. So for Paul, sin is just simply more in line with, say, our own confession. The things done and left undone. Our actions, our thoughts, our lack of faithfulness and connection. But in verse 21, chapter 1, he says, for though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their senseless minds were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling a mortal human being, or birds, or four-footed animals, or reptiles. And we may add to that, or our job, or our phone, or our grandchildren, or this building. You see where I'm getting? It's the things that get in the way of our relationship with God. I was going to say the lightning, but that probably isn't a good thing to say. But the reality is then we can take this inner conflict that Paul is talking about, and we move right to verse 15. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. See, the thing that we want is to be with God, amen? And how many of us struggle with that? Every time we turn around, we want to be with God, and then we find ourselves, I'm not with God. I made a note here in my thing. I said, can I get a witness? Yeah, it's like, I mean, has this ever happened to you? This happens to me in the most inopportune times. Can we just recognize it? And Paul is trying to articulate an inner conflict, and that's a very, very difficult thing to do. And moving to verse 18, which kind of clarifies it, I think, for most of us, for I know that nothing good dwells within me, and that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. I mean, how many times, brothers and sisters, do we find ourselves wanting to do good, wanting to do the right thing, and we continually fall short? When we continue to say to ourselves, I'm really going to commit this time to my Bible study. I'm going to get up every single morning, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to read Scripture, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do these things, and we want to do them so desperately, and they fulfill us, and they bring us joy, and then 3-4 days down the road, we wake up and we're thinking, you know what? Run a little behind today. I'll do it later. I've learned in my life, whenever I have something like that in my schedule that is good for me, I am always going to be tempted to not do it until later, which, by the way, never comes. Later never comes. And then before you know it, you're a few weeks down the road and all this good that you wanted to do, I mean, you made a plan to do good, you're 3 weeks down the road and realize I haven't done good in 3 weeks. That good. I've let it slide. And then so the first thing we do, of course, is we go, well, I'm going to fix that immediately today. No, that's not what we do. We justify why we haven't been doing it. Amen? Now you understand the inner conflict. This is what Paul's trying to convey to us. He's having the same struggles. He knows this is the struggle. We all know it is the struggle. I wish Paul was a little more clear, because he sounds like he's just talking in circles. But then again, does he intend to do that? Because isn't that what inner conflict is? I just get caught in this circle. I cycle through it, in and out, in and out. So his words feel that way. And then he adds into this, about verse 20. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. That sounds like he's justifying his inability to stay focused a little bit to me. But is it? Sin is in us, amen? I mean, if it wasn't, this would be a much easier task. But then again, would we even know it? He's referring back and forth to the law. We know what sin is because we know what right and wrong is. We know what it means to be away from God because God has shown us what it means to be near him. We understand what it means to accept Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior here, and then understanding that this is what we should do if we have accepted, and then we have this inner conflict of actually following exactly that which we proclaim to be a truth in our life. And Paul isn't saying, well, you're off the hook. What he's saying is, what if we quit trying to fix it ourselves? What if we just recognized what he carries on to and come to the reality that working harder and I'm going to do better this time has gotten us absolutely nowhere? In my world and in the recovery world, it is often, and it's kind of entertaining to have conversations with people, and they're talking about, well, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I said, yes, remember, the best you can do is what got you here. The best you could do is what got you to the AA meeting. The best you could do is what got you in this building today. That's the best you could do. You got here. Now, how many people woke up this morning and thought, man, I don't really want to go to church today? Now, thought it was just me for a second there. I woke up and I'm like, ugh. But here I am, and I'm glad to be here. This, brothers and sisters, was the best I could do. Left alone, to be honest, if I didn't expect you to show up, I wouldn't have. But there's this thing about the priest not showing up on Sunday. Doesn't look good. Yeah, bad optics. But the inner conflict, it's there. But we have to realize that that is normal. There's challenges that happen, right? Paul recognizes that too, doesn't he? In fact, he is so sure of it, he just says, this is the way it is. He says it this way, so I find it to be a law. Verse 21, so I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. Every single time. Not evil like somebody comes in evil and pins you down and ties you up and kidnaps you from being able to do the good. No, it's just that evil that reaches in there and just reminds you of your brokenness and your sinfulness that's deep inside there. The evil just sort of quietly comes in and unpacks your baggage for you. And then you find yourself paralyzed, right? Well, I was going to do that, but I'm really not the best person for the job. I was going to pray with that person, but I don't pray very well. I was going to help them, but I didn't want to interfere. Right? Which is not about God. That's about us, isn't it? That's our fear. That's our brokenness. That's our lack of confidence in Christ. And we have no problem recognizing sort of those moments when it's all about God and God's work through you. But we forget. We have been born into a fallen, broken world where sin exists. We have inherited it from our first parents who welcomed it in the garden. It's literally within us. The question is, where are we going to focus? We're okay when God comes in and does amazing things through us, and we're like, that was all God. And we almost keep it separate, don't we? That was just the Spirit of God moving through me. We have a hard time recognizing that that Spirit indwells us, and we're okay with that concept. But when it comes to the things of the distractions, the evil, the sin, and the brokenness, we see that, and we think, oh, it's me, I screwed that all up again, and now I have to do better. And then we go to do better, and there's the evil standing right there telling us you can't do better. And we get stuck. Paul is saying in this passage today, he goes, it's just in you. You're kind of stuck with it. He says, he puts it this way, wretched man that I am. Wretched man that I am. He said, just own it. It's in you. Just like the Spirit of God is in you. We can claim that and move by that power, or we can recognize that the sinful brokenness is in us because that is part of what it means to be born into this fallen world. But we keep trying to overcome that part, thinking it's us. See, that's how the evil slips in. It's all about you. You're a failure. You couldn't put it together. You can't come up with the right words. You don't have any authority to do that. You shouldn't speak into that person's life, whatever it may be. God couldn't be calling you to do that. You're not good enough. And we go, it's because of me. It's because of me. Paul is saying, brothers and sisters, no. That's evil lying close. That's what it's like to have that in you. He's saying, draw the line. When that happens, just like when God does good through you, you can go, that was God. Now, I may have decided to walk with God, and I took a chance, right? And I walked through that moment, and I could see God in it. And then there's that time when the bad part happens, and we fall short, or we fall away, and we just take all the blame on ourselves. And he's saying, what if it's just sort of in you? And just like you can surrender to God, you could surrender to it within you. And when you surrender to God within you, the Spirit of God moves and does incredible things. When you surrender to the other things happen. You say, what if we just looked at them the same? And remember, as Paul is stating, so I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self. But I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. It's just in there. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Not you. Not me. See, just as we can surrender on the good days to the Spirit of God within us, there are days when we fail and we surrender to that indwelling sinfulness that was born into us in a fallen world. Paul is saying, not you, but the sinfulness within you. We have no problem saying, not me, but the power of God within me. But when it comes to that sinfulness, we take full ownership of it. Paul's saying, take ownership of the presence of it, but don't make it who you are. Just like you won't take the power of God indwelling you and claim it as who you are. It's always God that is indwelling you. Amen? So brothers and sisters, when that sinfulness comes up, when that brokenness shows up, when you want to do good, and most especially in those moments, and the evil rises up, when you find yourself, oh, I don't know, on your way to go do something incredible for God, and you find yourself in conflict, ever happen? Let's say when you come to work in a feeding ministry that's going to put out 350 hot meals or whatever, and suddenly we are all getting upset over, I don't know, a can opener or something stupid. Ever happen? Well, somebody put a scoop and a half when you're only supposed to put one scoop. You hear what I'm talking about? You know what it is? It's this what Paul's talking about. It's like at those moments we need to just stop and say, oh, no, no. We're just going to walk away from that. We're not going to encourage that behavior. We're going to encourage the good. It's really all it takes. Sounds simple. I'll let you know when I can make it simple. But what matters is, are you aware? And in that awareness, can you then surrender to the truth of God? Can you let Him transform who you are? Can you recognize the wretched people that we are? And can we say, who will rescue me from this body of death? And rather than try and do better for God, what if we just surrendered to Him in those moments most especially and hear what Paul is saying? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's where the rescue comes. Because the more you try to rescue yourself, the more you're going to keep failing to meet the standard. The inner conflict is calmed in the face of Jesus Christ. You cannot rescue you. I cannot rescue you. Just had a conversation this past week, and the person was struggling. And we've known each other a really long time, years and years. And he said, can't you help me? I said, brother, if there was a switch somewhere on the back of your head I could flip and you could be done with this, trust me, I'd change it. I would flip that switch for you. But it doesn't exist. And I can't flip the switch. But I can say to you, focus on the reality that God is good and He will rescue you from your body of sin. Recognize that you live within this body of sin. It doesn't have to identify you. It doesn't have to define you. You will slip in and out in the conflict. But what you will never do is make yourself good enough for it to not exist. Thanks be to God. Jesus Christ will rescue you. Amen.